Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We now come to the second half of that well-known text in Romans 10:10. The text which says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And this, to me, is the more difficult part of this verse. The first part I can readily understand. The second part I wrestle with, but I will give you what I think is probably the proper explanation of this part of the verse, but I will do so with this disclaimer that I could be wrong. I don't think what I said about the first part of the verse is wrong. I have no doubts about it. I have every certainty in my mind that what I told you about justification in the first part of Romans 10:10 is exactly and precisely biblical truth and what this verse is saying. The last part of the verse, I'm going to tell you my best opinion, my best deliberation of what I think this part of the verse is saying, and I want to make it clear that that is what I am doing. Now, what is the problem here? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then again, it's such a familiar text that many people would never even think about the possibility that there might be a problem or a difficulty or a challenge in this text at all. But there is. Why is that? Because, depending on how you understand that word salvation, you could take this text to be saying that salvation is a two-step process, that there are two requirements: faith, number one, and confession, number two. In other words, in answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? This text would seem to say to some people, well, there are two things that you must do. Number one, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, confess with your mouth. And if you'll do those two things, you will be saved. That seems to be, on the surface, what this text is saying. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And yet the Bible is clear that salvation, as we usually understand that term, and I'll explain it a little bit more fully in a moment, but it's not a two-step matter. There's one way that a person receives the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ, and that is by faith, and faith alone. As I have emphasized on this broadcast and from my pulpit time and time and time again, justification, and now I will become more precise in my language, justification being a more precise term than salvation, the justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, every one of those words is important. And if we believe what we say in that second one, by faith alone, then there is a problem with this verse. At least we must find some way to explain how this verse can be reconciled with the biblical teaching that justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, we might explain it by saying that faith includes confession. There is the faith of the heart, but then there is the confession of the lip, and that's part of faith, true saving faith. Well, that would be one way to explain it. I think that way might render some difficulties. Let me offer another explanation that to me seems to meet the requirements of the text and the requirements of the rest of the Bible. And that is by making a distinction between justification and salvation. Now, I've already told you the first part of the verse, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, is talking about justification. And that is so evident and plainly so that I don't think that statement is likely to be challenged or contradicted by Bible believers. But I must tell you that the second part of the verse, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation, or rather with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, probably should be understood, that term salvation probably should be understood not as a synonym for righteousness, but as something in addition to it. And that's not the way we normally use the word salvation. So that's why we have difficulty, I think, thinking about these concepts. Normally, in our way of speaking, our usual Christian vocabulary, the term salvation is synonymous with the term justification. In fact, most people are likely to save to talk about salvation and saved rather than talk about being justified. Justified is kind of a theological term. Salvation is more of a biblical term, more of a layman's term. But as used in the Bible, salvation to me, as I have studied it and understood it, salvation almost always appears to be a bigger word than justification. It includes more. Justification is an aspect of salvation. It is a critical aspect. It is at the very heart of salvation. We might say, and I suppose we could make a case for saying, that justification is the most important part of salvation, but nevertheless, justification is a small part of a bigger work of God, a bigger matter that we call salvation. In fact, I think it would be accurate to say that justification is an act. Salvation is a process. Now, if I'm correct about that, if I'm correct about the way this is understood, that this is the way this is being used by Paul in this verse, then all becomes clear. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, that is, unto justification. And the moment that a person, by the work of the Spirit of God in their heart, truly believes on Jesus Christ, they are justified. And that's done. Once done, done forever. It can never be undone. It needs to be done again. Justification is not a process. It is an act. It is a pronouncement. It is a legal verdict pronounced by God. God says, I now pronounce the sinner just. Kind of like the marriage ceremony. You get to the place where the preacher says, I now pronounce you man and wife, or husband and wife, or whatever language is used. But I now pronounce you man and wife. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. It is a legal pronouncement at that point. Nothing has actually changed within the hearts and lives of those people. They loved each other before you said that. They love each other after they said that. They wanted to get married before you said that. They want to be married after you said that. They're still standing there. They haven't done anything different at the point that you make that pronouncement. It's going to be some time, usually many hours, before they will enter into the conjugal marriage relationship that they now can righteously do based upon that pronouncement. But at the moment of that pronouncement, before the law of North Carolina, they are now husband and wife. Before the pronouncement, they were not. Though they got the marriage certificate and they did all these other things, the moment that is pronounced, you see, the state recognizes the preacher as an agent of the state at that point, and the moment that pronouncement is made by a duly qualified minister of the gospel acting under the laws of the state of North Carolina, you see, the minister has a dual role. He's acting as a representative of God and of the church, and so that pronouncement has church authority, and the church recognizes the marriage at that point, but it also has legal authority, and society recognizes the marriage at that point. And when the preacher says, "I now pronounce you husband and wife," they are now married. That pronouncement only takes a second, but that changes everything legally. It changes nothing in them personally, but it changes everything legally. They are now legally married with all that that involves. And to break that relationship is now going to require something legally. You can't just walk away from it. You're married. You're recognized as married. Now, the marriage certificate will have to be signed, and it will have to be taken to the courthouse, usually mailed in and recorded at the courthouse and all of that. And that often doesn't take place. The completion of that legal process may take several days before you could go down to the courthouse and find a record of this marriage. But when you try to pinpoint at the date and the time and the minute when that person legally became married, those two people legally became married, it was at the time of the pronouncement. Well, that's similar to justification. When a person exercises true saving faith in Jesus Christ, God Almighty says, "I now pronounce you justified." And legally, you're justified, even though nothing has changed inside you at that point. Actually, the change has already occurred. The change of regeneration has already occurred, so that you do repent and believe. But when you exercise faith, then you are legally pronounced justified. You are now legally pronounced a child of God, and that's not going to change. But now there are going to be changes that flow out of that. Just like after a couple is pronounced husband and wife, now there are a lot of changes that flow out of that. They begin to live together. A lot of things have changed as a result of that pronouncement. And a lot of things have changed as a result of the pronouncement of justification. And a lot of things have changed because of the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart that brings a person to exercise faith in order to be justified before God. And one of those things is, and I'm going to have to touch on it quickly and take it up again tomorrow, but one of those things is there is a willingness to, there is a desire to confess Christ openly. That is a result of what the Holy Spirit has done in the heart. This is part of the process of salvation. Salvation is a process, a long process. It won't be complete until we're glorified. And there are certain things that will take place along the way. And one of those things is that the person who has been saved, is being saved, and will be finally saved. There are three aspects of salvation, past, present, and future. The person who will one day be finally saved will confess Christ with his mouth now upon earth before men. And I think that must be what Paul is saying here. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto final salvation. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.